Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Thank you for listening to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, everyone. My name is Alon, and as always, next to me is the famous...
Ara, the game designer.
Ara the S-Bomb, there he is. We've got him, and then behind the glass we've got...
That's your nickname for me, isn't it?
Yeah, what's your name over there, behind the glass? Who are you?
The A-Bomb.
The A-Bomb, apparently
who's turned into a munchkin or something.
Andrew's over there running the sound effects. He doesn't want to talk into the mic today, I guess. He was giving me crap earlier. I don't want to talk, and so...
And anyway, we also got a special guest here tonight.
A fourth A.
I just realized this. So now, we used to be a triple A show. Now we're a quadruple A show.
We've gotten even further than all the blockbuster hits.
That's right.
Aaron Kelta is joining us.
Thank you for the drum roll.
Thank you. Aaron Kelta used to work on Thrill Kill. Now, many of you may not have heard of Thrill Kill. Why is that, Ara?
Well, it was one of those games that actually was never released.
Kind of like the game that you worked on.
Very similar. But Thrill Kill has gotten somewhat of a reputation. It was very controversial because it was, at least ostensibly, canned because it was deemed too violent.
No doubt it would not have a problem getting released these days, but probably not under the EA umbrella, which I think is what was going to happen back in the day.
That's correct. Yeah, correct. Virgin was bought by EA, and then the game was way too... controversial, and not only just in the violent sense, there are some sexual overtones.
Yes, that's what made me love it.
We'll be looking forward to hearing all about those later on.
So we're going to talk about that later. If anyone has questions directly for Aaron, let us know. The phone number here is 866-536-1100. You may be one of the folks talking on our online chat. You can get to the online chat at chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com or chatterboxer. A bunch of them will go there. Now, some other stuff that just appeared on the website. I told you about this, Ara. And
yeah.
Ara is currently working on a list for me. We used to have a Chatterbox game store up there. It was sort of a beta idea of mine. But since then, I put together a much nicer one, and it went live today. So now, if you want to contribute to the Chatterbox family, contribute to the show and keep us going, one of the ways you can do that is just by buying stuff like you would do ordinarily. So our store, powered by Amazon.com, everybody's favorite store online, at least my favorite, you can go over to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com, and buy stuff that you probably would buy anyway, for gifts or whatever. It's good for the holiday season, and we get a kickback. That's how the internet works. Anytime you click on a link or whatever, somebody gets some money. Now, here's what's cool about this. What I'm going to do all through December, if anybody buys anything through our site, I'm going to try and help Child's Play, Penny Arcade's Child Play. We haven't talked about that at all this season, but... For those who don't know, Penny Arcade, hopefully you know who they are, they do annually a charity that helps sick kids in hospitals get their hands on video games. So you can either contribute money or you contribute gifts. Now, if you want to contribute gifts to them through their Amazon wishlist store, go directly to, I think it's childsplaycharity.com. I'll find out the exact link and tell you later in the show. But if you go to Penny Arcade's website, then you'll find a link there anyway. Go buy stuff on there through their store because it goes directly to the hospitals it needs to go to in order for the kids to get the games. However... If you're going to buy stuff for yourself or for friends or whatever, buy it through the Chatterbox store. And if you send me a receipt or, you know, part of a receipt, something that lets me identify what things you purchased, I will compare it to all the things that we sell, and hopefully they'll match up. Any profits that we make for the entire month of December that you show us a receipt for, I send 110% of those profits that we make. By profit, I mean any cent that comes into me. I'll send 110% through PayPal over to Child's Play. So I'm actually kicking in my own money to help out here.
You know what? You just told me about this, and I think I'm going to up the ante. I will also kick in another 10% with that.
Wow. That's killer. And he did not tell me about this ahead of time. Thank you very much, Ara. That's very generous of you. So if you buy anything from the Chatterbox Game Show store...
And no forged receipts either, as we can tell.
Well, I'm going to compare it to what we actually sold, so it's legitimate, right? If you buy anything for yourself, for your friends, whatever, through the entire month of December and get your receipt to me, hopefully before December 31st, as long as it was a legitimate thing that actually went onto the list of money we made because of it, then Ara and I will each kick in an extra 10% of whatever money Chatterbox makes. Send all 120% over to Child's Play.
Hey, that's tax deductible, right?
Andrew, were you going to say
Avon, I'd like to up the ante as well.
Oh!
Wow, now that's a spirit.
I would like to contribute 5,000% of everything sold.
That's unprecedented.
I don't believe Andrew for a second. Don't believe that.
That's like what? Like $20,000 or something?
No, I'm contributing squat.
Squat, of course. But R and I will each kick in an extra 10% on top of whatever it is that Chatterbox makes care of all you wonderful caring folks who are going to buy stuff anyway for the Christmas season. So, of course, go to Penny Arcade's website and to the Child's Play website and buy stuff for Child's Play. But stuff you buy for yourself and for your family and friends, buy through us, and even more money will go to Child's Play. So we appreciate, hopefully, the support of everyone. And
you'll get good games.
Yeah, of course, because everything they buy is, well, hopefully good. We actually set up the store in such a way, I put one category that's just all games, just the generic Amazon games category, and I have a little disclaimer there saying, all right, we didn't handpick these, so these could potentially suck. There's no guarantee. There's a disclaimer. But the rest of them, all the other categories are ones that we handpick, things that don't suck. So maybe you don't know much about games. Go to our store, and if you buy it for someone, as long as you buy the game for the right system, then I give you my personal guarantee that the game won't suck. And Ara's
And I give picks. My personal guarantee that the game will be fantastic.
Yeah, the first one I put on Ara's list is the Red Star, the game that you can't even buy yet, but the game that he worked on personally, and apparently got...
Apparently Play Magazine reviewed it, and they gave it a 9 out of 10.
Which is awesome. It's very retro.
I'm totally stoked. Yes, it's absolutely old school. Which, you know...
Not like old-school graphics, like you're playing Raiden.
It's the classic style of gameplay, you know? I mean, the kinds of games that, like, you know, didn't have, like, 34 button presses to do something and, you know, all this other stuff. I mean, it's a very pure game. You know, it's the kind of game that, you know, I really always loved to play. And, you know, it was just the kind of thing where we were making it, it was like, you know, this is what we would kind of like to show the public as, you know, what we... think is important and cool and awesome about video games.
Yeah, you should have seen Ara. Like the first time I went to his house and I played Red Star. Andrew, are we actually going through the mics here? Can people hear us? All right, very strange.
Okay.
Ara and I are looking at each other like, what? The sound changed. So anyway, I go over to his house and the very first time he's like, here, you should play this game. And he's like, I just want to watch you. I don't want to talk. I just want to watch you play. And he gets all serious. And so I'm playing the game. And he's like, yeah, this is interesting because of whatever. And I don't remember. It was such a long time ago. But it was interesting watching his brain work as I just sat and played the game all screwy.
You should play it again. Next time I won't handcuff you to play it.
Yeah. Next time I'm over there, remind me. I'd like to give it a shot.
Right on.
All right. So more about what's going on. We've got, like I said, we've got Aaron Kelta in studio. And he's going to be talking about Thrill Kill. A game that I was happy to steal off the internet and play since I wasn't allowed to buy it anyway. You're welcome.
And we're happy that you stole it off the internet.
No problem. Well, that way people could get a feel for what the game really was and enjoy your art.
In fact, I was looking for it on the internet tonight. I was looking at Alt Binary's PlayStation games, I think. And in fact, anyone has it, put it up back on there because I wouldn't mind downloading and getting a chance myself. Because I can't find it. My plethora of CDs I've got. Nowhere to be found.
I've got the earlier one. I don't have the most recent one.
Yeah, there's a couple different versions. We did a really nice intro movie after we had a little bit more time through the sale of Virgin and EA and all that nonsense to do our own intro, and it was really well done.
I do like how we have someone who actually worked on a game asking someone to pirate it by posting it onto newsgroups.
I didn't say anything about pirating. It was...
Well, sharing it online.
Sharing. It's the season of giving.
Equals.
Right?
Yeah.
The season of giving.
I think that's fantastic. This must be a first for public radio. Anyway, all right, so what else is going on? My life, this really isn't video game related. I told Ara earlier today, I'm on a jury. Of course, I can't talk about it, but like.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
It just started today. I didn't even tell you about this, Aaron. I got picked for jury duty. Like, not just jury duty, like, I went and I'm actually on a trial. So I'm all excited. So it's going to take like 4 days. I can't work for 4 days.
We'll see how excited you are tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, these things can get boring. But anyway, I'm excited. And you'll be asking about it next week. I can tell you all about it.
Yeah.
But once it's over only, not right now. All right. We're also going to talk about a few other things. Last week we hinted that we wanted to talk about used games trading. Ara has written up a big manifesto about this.
I'm really looking forward to talking about this. We also have coming up later the topic of – we got this letter – in like several weeks ago about the reader was asking a listener was asking, you know, how can limiting choice in games be good? You know, isn't just like more features, isn't that better always?
Yeah. And that's because we were talking about the music soundtracks in games, selectable soundtracks in games, and you were saying that that's really not usually a good idea. That's
right.
What stemmed or what created this response.
Right. So that's what we'll talk about later on.
I don't think we're going to get to it in today's show, but maybe.
Maybe.
If we have time.
And maybe next show.
Now, there are a couple of things that I talk about every show. Like, every show I always mention UAT and how we want you to go to uat.edu to learn about the programs they offer. But I always forget to mention All Games. For those of you who visit our website, chatterboxgameshow.com, you've seen the All Games logo up in the top left, and that's because our show is part of the All Games network. They're currently working on some stuff that we're going to have to contribute some information to as well. You and I are. I don't think I can talk about it just yet, but... Anyway, head over to allgames.com. They do this thing where, you know, all sorts of shows like ours and other people's shows are part of their network. It's a good place. And I feel bad because I keep forgetting to mention it. And they're good people over there. They even do some sort of video review show or something. I assume they have a lot of video on the website. I just have never navigated beyond the Chatterbox radio show portion of the website. But it's all there. Again, that's allgames.com. All right, so we're just about to go to break. Am I right, Andrew? Yeah, just 1 minute. So that's what we're going to talk about. Use Games Trading, All Games, and we also have a caller. So we're not going to take that before the break, but when we come back, we are, and then we will get to Aaron Kelta.
I just get so excited about callers.
I know, we've got a screen
it's
over here.
It just makes my heart all warm.
Ara's like, don't forget, we've got a caller. Got a caller. Anyway, so we're going to talk about Use Games Trading. We're going to talk to Aaron, take the caller, and then talk about anything we have left. And of course, if you want to call us, 866-536-1100. We will be right back after the break, everyone.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara, and we've got...
Alon's right here.
Alon over there. Alon is very, very happy tonight. We also have Andrew there behind the booth in charge of special effects. And did I say Aaron or Andrew?
You said Andrew, but I'm Andrew. Aaron.
And we also have another A, Aaron.
Double A, actually.
Double A. So that means
like a quint A.
Quintuple A show here.
Yeah.
And Aaron worked on Thrill Kill, which we will be getting to in a moment.
First, I want to take this caller. We've got Jeff on the line.
Yeah, let's do it.
If we can get Andrew to actually pull a phone call through on the air. Can we do that, Andrew? We can. All right, Jeff, it looks like you are on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
Oh, hi. We're going to talk about the Wii.
Hang on one second, Jeff. Andrew, any idea?
Does he have a phone made before 1932?
Yeah, Jeff, we can't understand what you're saying. Is your phone a piece of crap?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
All right, that's awesome.
You need to call us back on a phone that's not a piece of crap. We can't take this call. We apologize.
He's calling from Reykjavik.
Yeah. Alon has very high standards for this show.
Seriously. He's not on the air
I mean, anymore. Your phone can't be running on potatoes here,
guys. Yeah. Nothing where the potato and the lemon are in the juice or whatever. All right, so let's move right into our lucky contestant, Aaron Kelta. So you worked on Thrill Kill.
That's correct.
Right. And do you currently work with Ara? Is that how we got a hold of you?
Yeah, actually, I sit right across from Ara, so I have to sit and listen to this guy all day.
Wow, so you guys work on the same project. Can you tell me what it is?
He also dodges things that I throw his way.
Can you tell me what you guys are working on? Because Ara won't tell me.
Oh, no, it's not that exciting.
Crap, I keep trying to pry it out of him.
5 to 8-year-old kid, perhaps.
Okay.
Younger demographic.
Right on, a younger demographic. THQ, let's figure that out.
Anything. We got the whole Nickelodeon license and, you know, HBO. I think it's actually a SpongeBob Sopranos tie-in.
Mixed. All right. So that actually would work pretty well with Thrill Kill. I don't think that I would recall Thrill Kill well enough to give an accurate representation of it. So why don't you tell us what it's about and why it is supposedly a controversial game, or was supposed to be anyway.
It was the first four-player fighter for the PS1 that at least I can recall, but so it was kind of a feat in that regard. It was more of a party game, similar to, I guess, what you'd find in Super Smash Brothers nowadays. But what set that game apart, obviously, from any sort of Nintendo properties is that we're using very gothic type characters. Two of the main stars being one character named Belladonna, who is a dominatrix and a cattle prod.
I remembered that name. Hadn't forgotten Bella. I don't remember
she
any
was
other
the
one.
Star of the show. Very much.
I remember a guy on stilts. What's that all about?
He was the imp. Actually, the ERSB, a funny story about him, we originally called him Senator Lieberman.
Nice.
And I forgot what exactly we changed the name to, but we did have to change that. The ERSB came down on us pretty hard at one point for a number of things. One being the...
you couldn't change it to Joe L.?
It was something... It wasn't very far away from Lieberman. You could have put two and two together, but the exact name, I think, it put us in a precarious situation. And then the Belladonna suggestive sort of moan rub down before the match.
Yeah, when it started, she was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. And we also had to make our characters have briefs instead of G-strings, which was another change that ESB...
Now, wait, when I played the imp, I'm pretty sure I had a G-string.
If actually, I was looking up on Wikipedia because it's been 8 long years since I've worked on Thrill Kill, actually, just to kind of get myself refreshed a little bit. And apparently there's 4 different versions out there, and one of them is the... all-inclusive, unrated, uncensored version.
Yeah.
With G-strings and everything.
But it didn't have any character endings.
No, thankfully. You know, I mean, that was probably the worst part. We had this Russian house doing the CG bits, and we got them about, I'd say, about 2 weeks before we actually shipped, and we had to just plug them in there.
Before you shipped? Define ship.
Well, yeah, before we were supposed to ship. The funny story about Thrill Kill getting canceled is that we didn't actually know it until we read it on IGN.
That sounds kind of like the Red Star story.
Another
did you go to
parallel.
Work one day and notice you couldn't get into the building?
Yes.
It wasn't that bad. But being a new kid out in L.A. and having been asked to take half salary when I was making $8 an hour was a fun... EA almost put us out of business with this whole snafu. It was very interesting.
Wow, EA and a salary scandal.
Hmm.
Surprising.
Yeah. So, on the forefront.
You're right, though. Ara, you were talking about parallels. It's
uncanny. What can I say? One thing I'm curious about though is that did you guys ever have the sense that like you know what guys this product we're working on, it's so edgy, so controversial, so violent that you know it might actually risk finally happened to it?
Well, Virgin Interactive was a Richard Branson company, and if there's anything that Richard Branson usually stands for, it's being edgy and kind of over the top. So I don't think that was their indication from that point. But, I mean, the whole EA thing came out of the blue, and the reason why they bought Virgin was because they wanted Command & Conquer.
So how long before the supposed release date did that acquisition actually take place?
Well, the launch of the game actually got delayed because of the merger that was going to potentially happen. And so we were up in the air, and I believe it was 2 months that it was postponed for. And then finally the sale went through, and there was a very gray period where we didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, like I said, we read it on IGN, and we got blammed, as it were. So, it was pretty hard because going into it, being at my first company, and I saw them at E3, and I was really impressed with the game because it had that Mortal Kombat edge to it. That screamed sales back then, but it also had some actual play control, and it offered the whole four-player fighter edge that hadn't been done or seen before yet. So,
and it couldn't have sucked that much, because if I recall, wasn't Def Jam, I don't know if it was Def Jam Vendetta, or one of the Def Jam games, like the first one, based off of all the stuff that was built for Thrill Kill?
No, actually, it was the Wu-Tang game,
Wu-Tang,
which is close enough.
I'm confusing. Def Jam was later. I should have figured that out.
Well, what's funny is, I mean, Def Jam is not that much worse than what Thrill Kill actually had in it. I mean, granted...
Andrew, how do you feel about that?
I apologize if that's bad.
Did we get cut there?
No.
Andrew, how do you feel about that?
I apologize if that's bad.
Did we get cut there? No? Good.
All right. Sorry, folks.
It's all good.
I don't mind.
It's good
you
to
can
go.
Stick a cattle prod up me anytime, Aaron.
Anyway, so yeah, but Wu-Tang came a little bit later, and that's where we really got to shine, I think. It was perhaps not as edgy of subject matter because we didn't have the gothic type characters with the leather mask on or the cattle prod.
Wu-Tang did well, though. People actually thought it was a good game.
Yeah, it's surprising how many people actually come up to me and say how much fun they had playing the game, because I think the game actually...
Did you work on Wu-Tang, or was that...
Yeah, no, I worked on Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang was actually at where I did some of my best work, I think, still in my career. I did all the blood and the sound effects. So
nice.
When the kills came around, heads were getting dismembered, arms were getting severed, and so I had 30,000 long.
Wow, I never realized it was actually that edgy a game. I just thought it was they took some band, put their name on a
Well, that's
real
essentially
thing.
What they did do, but...
But yeah, but like...
You know, all I wanted out of that game was a signed package of Phillies blunts from Method Man, and I still wasn't able to get that. So it just shows the involvement that the Boutin actually did have in the game.
Wow.
So there's one thing I'm really dying to ask about Thrill Kill. Is it like, I mean, is there anything that you guys, you know, were working on in that game where you were just like, you know, okay, we're going to put this in and it's going to be so edgy, and like, no, we better not put it in. It's too edgy. Anything, unless it involves maybe like saying so many curse words that you can't actually talk about it.
They had another character named Bill Clinton, I think.
A lot of it actually doesn't ring too much of a bell. We did have some craziness, such as characters throwing up after they got punched in the stomach. That just took the pacing out of the game. So we took that stuff out. But mostly we left everything in we possibly could think of.
Wouldn't it be great to be known for the guy who worked on the vomit?
All right, we're going to go to break and try to think of things that they wouldn't have included in the game. We'll be back after the break, everyone.
You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
We're back, everybody. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon. This is...
My name's Ara.
And that's...
Aaron.
And that behind the glass is Andrew. You can visit us at chatterboxgameshow.com. I want to reiterate what I said earlier in the show. If you buy anything this Christmas season, any video game related products, you should buy it from Chatterbox Game Show's game store. There's a tab on the left side. Go to the game store. Anything you buy, we make money off of. And if we make money off of it, I'm going to give 100% of that money to Child's Play Charity. I'm also going to kick in an extra 10%.
And I'm also going to kick in a 10%.
So that's a total of 120% of the profits produced by your purchases.
And Andrew's kicking in, what, 5,000%?
Andrew's kicking
5,000%.
That's fantastic.
Bubkiss, because he's a big liar.
And he's going to need the box to sleep in tonight.
Yeah, so just click on the Game Store on our main menu on the ChatterboxGameShow.com website and buy stuff. And just make sure you send me a receipt after. From Amazon or from our store, right, which is an Amazon store. Send me the receipt. I'll compare it to what we actually sold, and as long as it's real, 120% of it will get given to Child's Play Charity, which is a very cool charity. One of these days, I'll even tell the Penny Arcade guys that I'm doing that. Anyway, so after I mentioned UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technology, and how they teach you how to make games, we will go back to talking to Aaron. So Aaron, now that I've done that, Aaron Kelta. You worked on Thrill Kill under the guise of Virgin something, Virgin Interactive?
Yeah, Virgin Interactive.
All right, which was really EA after one day when they suddenly bought out Virgin.
Yeah, yeah.
You really didn't have a part in that decision, huh?
No, unfortunately.
All right, so now I promised during the break that we were going to try and come up with stuff that wouldn't have been put into the game because Ara posed that very interesting question to Aaron. And we didn't discuss that at all.
No, we didn't.
No. Can you think of anything that they probably wouldn't have included? That
I
we
could,
can say on the air?
Yeah. That's the kicker, isn't it?
No. That's what we can't do, is to actually talk about it. But, you know, if you have an idea, give us a call, and we can probably get you to censor it properly. I don't know. 866-536-1100. If you can get it by the censors, then we'll mention it on the air, or let you mention it on the air anyway. And we'll get back to you in the fourth segment. Now, what else do we want to ask about Thrill Kill? I know that it was made a big deal of on the internet. And so people were playing this ahead of time. Now, obviously you're aware of this, that there's a lot of controversy and people are already playing it ahead of time. And how much feedback did you get from people who were playing it, whether or not they were really supposed to be playing it?
You know, that was a strange thing. We, apart from the personal people we knew outside, just... that may have gotten it, kind of, you know, the old leaving the just cooked apple pie on the windowsill.
Yeah.
From those people, we didn't hear a whole lot because it gets just kind of got axed, and then all of a sudden nobody really cared. I don't know. You know, back then, print ads and all were about all we had. The internet still was kind of in its infancy in terms of all the gaming media, and I think IGN was really the only.
Daily Radar, website. Man.
Daily Radar, yes. In fact, I think they even came a little bit after that. Maybe it's around the same time. I don't know. My 8 years ago. That's just way too long to imagine.
Old memories.
But you know, there was a lot of people that said to you know be thankful it didn't come out. You know, because then you would have all been disappointed for the crap game that it was. But you know,
it was kind of boring. I didn't like it that much.
No, it could have been better. But you know, I think as a party game, it kind of hit that note. But the guys that actually were the main contributors to the fighting mechanics itself were huge Street Fighter fans. I mean, they would go into the arcade and just play that thing for hours, you know, dumping $5, $6, $10 worth of quarters into the machine.
That's back in the day, kids, when a game was only a quarter to play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
$5 is nothing now. It's like three games
worth. It's pointless to go to an arcade. There was a really, really deep fighting engine actually in there, which I unfortunately could never kind of master. And actually, that reminds me of something that I was meaning to mention about Wu-Tang, is I've been looking to make a demo reel for myself, and being, as I said, that's one of my more favorite things that I've done in my career, the game's just too darn hard for me to play through to unlock all the kills. So if anyone out there has played it and unlocked any of the kills, if they had a memory card that I could buy off them,
well, you can download saves off the internet, man.
I know, but I still haven't. I think I lost my Dex drive a long time ago.
You could build a Dex drive.
Build a Dex drive? Yeah. Is there something like that on Ben Hackerton?
Heckendorn?
Heckendorn, is that what it is? Heckerington?
All you need to do is
get
an old PlayStation with a controller and memory card port. You know, you just take it out of there, a few wires up to your serial port or whatever.
He makes it sound so easy.
Yeah. I can't solder.
This is coming from a person who builds his own furniture.
You find the instructions and I can do it. There's a video on our website right now of how I got my Wii sensor bar to be powered by a 9-volt power adapter so that I don't have to have it connected to the Wii itself. That way the Wii can be back on my shelf near the projector, projecting, of course, you know, the image of the Wii.
How are you enjoying your Wii so far?
Oh, man, it's good times.
You beat Zelda yet?
Yeah, let me tell you the story. I'm barely playing Zelda, dude. I got stuck on that fish thing last week, and it made me not want to play the game anymore.
That's pretty rough.
No, it's a good game. It's just I don't play games that require a lot of time investment, and so over Thanksgiving, I said, I've got a good day to sit down and play this game. And since then, you know, I'm not going to play when I only have half an hour. But I was playing Wii Sports. I told you my friend John moved in and brought the PS3 and the Xbox 360 with him, which I'm grateful for. He moves in, and his girlfriend is hanging out with me the day after Thanksgiving or someday, right? And John is off buying a car or something. And, that's what he did. He bought a car. Anyway.
He bought it?
Yeah, he bought an Infiniti G35. You'd be very proud of him with all the extra crap on it.
Damn.
The sporty version, I hope, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not the S, but it's...
Everyone's got those nowadays. Be original.
Anyway,
you know?
The games here. So I'm playing bowling with his girlfriend, and while we're waiting for him, and she gets so into it, like, she does the whole bowling wind-up run-across-the-floor thing, which I do too, right? But she gets really low on the floor, and she scrapes the controller against the carpet. And I thought to myself, jokingly, and I actually said this out loud to her, it's like, wow, you gotta be careful, you might melt the plastic on that thing, right? And she looks at it, and she's like, uh-oh. And I thought, she's just screwing with me. But then she really wouldn't show me the controller. She actually melted...
What?
And I didn't know it when
how,
I said it.
How is that possible?
You'll show it to you when you come over to my house.
Does she have like superhero powers? Like she accidentally burns things?
She actually melted. It blackened the Wii controller. So people are breaking TVs. They're breaking lamps.
This is crazy.
My friend's girlfriend simply breaks the controller by rubbing it against the carpet. So,
now, I hope you didn't sustain any functional damage here.
No, it still works fine. But yeah. It's a great excuse for her to buy her own, so future damages will incur on her inherited Wii mote.
Indeed.
And I will have a nice brand new one, and then we'll have three. And so she claims she's going to get it one day. So
good luck finding one. Those things are impossible to find right now.
Whatever. When I went to Target, they had plenty of them.
Really? They had Wii motes?
Not today. This was the day after it came out. So.
Oh, okay. Right.
I don't know. Apparently in Japan, everything's really easy to find.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Even PS3?
We get really hard off track here.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back on track.
All right. So we're talking about Thrill Kill. Sounds like nobody has questions for you about Thrill Kill because they're not calling in. But I remember I was getting all excited about it And people are talking about, ooh, Thrill Kill, it's released on the net. You can go get it, right? And I don't know the time frame here. I don't know if it was released before or after the game actually got canceled, because every time I heard about it, it was, oh, the game got, this game's not coming out. It's too edgy. EA won't release it. And so I have a feeling that any time I played it, it was already after it got the axe. And are you aware of the time frame there?
You know, I'm not, but I know a couple of the games I've already worked on and finished have been released onto the internet before we've actually released them to the public, before we actually even pressed the gold copy, which is the wonderfulness of the internet these
days. That
was
pretty rampant during PlayStation days.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? When you send them the press and you send them to a factory, and you know, the shifty characters that are working in the factory, they can easily. That's one of the perks for them. You know, being able to leak the stuff. And personally, I'm grateful that the game at least was able to get out there, even if it did go to a lot of mixed reviews with a lot of people saying it was absolute trash. But that's why I was happy we had a second chance to make Wu-Tang, because I thought, even though it wasn't still say a quadruple A title as this show is, I thought it was a pretty interesting accomplishment by us. And I still, even to this day, hear people say they enjoyed playing the game. And ultimately, that's all it's about, really, isn't it? Just enjoying playing the games.
Now, did you guys, when you went and did Wu-Tang, did you shift it and try to go more comedy? Like, I know Wu-Tang tries to be funny a lot.
How much later did that game come out after Thrill Kill finished?
It was maybe about 14 months afterwards. Originally, we tried to do a game called FUBAR, and we pitched that to Activision, and they liked the concept, they liked the edginess and all that, but they had Wu-Tang there that they've already paid a license for. And so
was FUBAR just a replacement of Thrill Kill?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, if you go ahead and you unlock a lot of the stuff in Wu-Tang, every character has a If We Had Done Thrill Kill 2 skin. Mm-hmm. So a completely different character is completely unique, and they were pretty interesting. But again, that's if you go through and you get all the talismans, I think they were called in that game.
So then basically you have Thrill Kill?
Yeah, essentially. But it's still, you know, it doesn't have the gothic type characters. We had a big clown, I think it was one. They had some sort of alien as another. All the other ones escape me at this moment.
So what was FUBAR about?
FUBAR was a little bit different. It was more sci-fi-ish. And so that's, again, why I think Activision actually steered us in the right. That's probably the only time you'll ever hear me say that, but they steered us in the right
FUBAR's
direction.
FUBAR's a great title, though.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's a little cliche. I think if you were going to go ahead and
release
a game like
that now.
There's
no games
that
have been called FUBAR.
Yeah, and maybe so, for good reason.
I think it's fantastic.
I think it's interesting.
Now, why didn't you pitch it to Midway?
I know, they would have given everything.
Yeah.
It's actually funny. Midway now owns Paradox as Midway Los Angeles.
Okay, so wait, you were working for the development team Paradox, which was owned by Virgin.
We were just working for Virgin. It was just a contract job, essentially.
Okay, so so you still owned your rights, and that's why you were able to do Wu-Tang.
Well, the EA didn't pay us our final two milestone payments.
Uh-huh.
Instead, they said we could keep the dev kits that we had as payment, which unfortunately doesn't really feed anybody. But we then were able to finagle the engine, which Virgin actually owned the engine. You sign away a lot of rights when signing a contract to make a game as individual publisher or individual developer. And EA found it in their hearts to not send us all out on the streets and actually giving us some semblance of rights to the hard work. You know, Thrill Kill actually was in development for 4 years, and the first two of those years it started off as a 2-on-2 Mayan basketball game.
Wow. What, like...
And how is it that this information didn't come out earlier in the interview?
Wait.
It was actually in my little cheat sheet of notes, but I figured we'd get to it at some point.
Wait, did you say Mayan basketball?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're talking like arch rivals
style? What is it, like a...
Pretty
like
much, yeah, but it had a basketball...
cut the guy's head off
It had
something?
A basketball hoop in the center, and it was a big circular...
Like Street court. Hoops meets Apocalypto or whatever?
It was horrendous. I got to play some demos. It was...
Wow, if you have a copy of that,
I'll try to find one. I think I do have something that's somewhere.
Wow,
I'll have to
that
dig
sounds
through.
Amazing.
That's an underrepresented genre, let me tell you.
Even Thrill Kill took on quite a change.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back after this break. And we got some more stuff to talk about, everybody. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And I'm Aaron.
And then we've got Andrew back there doing that crazy thing he does with all those switches and buttons.
You know, I was just looking at our online chat, which you can join by going to chatterboxgameshow.com. And I don't know if it's a good thing or not that I don't really control the chat, because they put on there that to fish pwn you because of the fishing in Zelda. So thank you guys. I appreciate that, Amikuli.
That was like two elite hacksaw speak elements in one phrase.
Yeah, and it's in all caps. Tefish ponio. Anyway, that's much appreciated. Now we're gonna move on a little bit, but I do have to marvel at the idea that Thrill Kill started off as a 2-on-2 Mayan basketball game. And Aaron was explaining during the break that he doesn't have a whole lot of answers regarding how a game could possibly transition like that.
Publishers do not know what kind of enormous money-making potential they're losing out on here with the Mayan basketball.
Yeah, with two screens? Or?
No, I don't even know who greenlights something like that, honestly, to begin with, and how they don't lose their job. But it was just with a hoop in the center of this big circular arena, and it was kind of a no-holds-bar, kind of like you were saying, the
arch rivals,
yeah. Where you would punch them and just try the fight to get the ball in.
I think
basket.
Another interesting
almost
topic.
American Gladiator-like, in a way.
That's that. It. I'm going to pitch a Sumerian basketball game. I'm inspired.
That'll get greenlit. I actually, we missed a potentially interesting topic here about how games get ripped off pre-gold, right? And put on the internet. And I remember hearing a story from people who worked at Game Fan magazine and how about one of their guys got in trouble with Capcom because they digitally, you know, encrypted the reviewer's details or some identifying characteristic in the particular copy that he got.
Yeah, very, very, very uncool for press people to do.
Yeah,
that.
And so he released Resident Evil 2 on the internet, and they looked at the image file and they said, oh, well, this was the one we sent to Game Fan. Oh, you're not getting any games from Capcom for the next 5 years, wow. Or something insane like that.
Is that why Dave Halverson's had five different magazines?
Maybe he has to move from place to place.
Yeah, I loved Game Fan. I gotta say.
Hey,
that.
Don't diss him, man. He's the one behind Play who just gave Red Star a 9.
That's right.
They have the best
layouts. The man speaks the truth.
By far.
Yeah.
Actually, I know somebody. I must say, I know somebody that writes for Play, Brady Fischer. He's the senior editor over there. Very, very good magazine.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of Dave's writing, but whatever.
No, yeah, he's a little sensational. They actually have a cute girl that works on the staff now.
Well,
I believe her name's Heather.
Can't have a problem with that, can we?
No.
And the production
no.
value of their magazines have always been good.
Always,
I appreciate
always
that.
top notch.
Anyway, so the fact that
especially when they give Red Star a 9,
they get all busted.
Hey, they gave Cars an 8, I believe. So.
All right. Well, you can't believe everything they say, apparently.
Exactly.
Aura. Given that we have limited time, do we want to move in?
All right. Well, I've got a brief spiel on this eliminating choice in games thing. I want to leave off the used game trading topic for next episode.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of meat in there. This one, a little lean tonight.
Okay.
So
take it away, man.
All right. So the actual letter that we got right was kind of not precisely this topic, but it's a nice springboard for me to talk about this. So I'm going to take advantage of that.
Okay.
This listener calls in, actually writes in.
Wrote in. You can email us. You've got links on our website.
And and he's like, all right, well, how can eliminating choice in games be good? And it actually can, and here's why. You can equate the choices that a player has in a game to the number of, quote, you know, features it has, right? You know, for every choice at the player's disposal, the game has to have functionality there to support it. So, you know, in this way, a lot of people look at games in the same way as, you know, any other consumer product in terms of features, right? The more features the product has, the better, right? The more choices you have, the better, right? Well, as counterintuitive as it may seem, this is actually very, very wrong. First of all, for example, I can give the player a meaningless choice, which is just obviously bad. You know, let's take any game like, I don't know, Street Fighter 2, right? Okay, well, if choices are always good, you know, what if I put an option in, you know, Blanka's stage? You can run inside the hut in the background and play a game of dice with the tribal shaman inside while your opponent waits outside.
That sounds kind of fun.
Now, this is a stupid choice, right? Because, you know, Street Fighter 2 is a fighting game. It's not some kind of weird exploration with mini games game.
Agreed.
Although, you know, I'm thinking that
the Super Nintendo version.
what about the code to have Mike Tyson shot? In Mike Tyson's Punch Out, anyone ever hear that as growing up as a kid? Anyway, going on. We're getting off topic here. You got a lot of notes there.
So here's another example, right? I mean, eliminating choice is another reason why it has value, is that it's a way to streamline the gameplay experience. Let's say that you're designing, I don't know, like a wrestling game, right? So how many parameters do you think you have to define before you can play a match, right? I mean, you've got some of the obvious ones, like what venue are you wrestling in, who's your wrestler, who are your opponents, right? But then there's a lot of non-obvious ones.
What intro music are you going to have?
Right, what intro music, right, all this stuff. But then there's like, okay, I mean, is it tag team or is it single, right? Is it fatal four-way? Is it triple threat? If it's tag team, is the second player on your team or is it on the opposite team? If it's tag team, is it a tornado tag match or just regular style? Right?
You sound
is
like there, a wrestling fan.
Is there a time limit? Are there weapons allowed? Is it hardcore style? Are there ladders or chairs? These are not necessarily mutually exclusive options either. So the fact is, if you just let the player choose everything, you'll just have this gigantic mess of selection screens all before they actually start playing. And ultimately, what I'm getting at here is that, you know, more features aren't always better. Design is fundamentally about restricting player choices to just the ones that fulfill the kind of emotional experience you want them to enjoy. So, you know, we don't have unlimited development time, too, when we're making these things, right? So games necessarily must have limitations, and that includes limitations about choice.
Yeah, oftentimes developers make the choice for the user ahead of time because they know it'll improve the game. And a great example of this, as claimed by Tycho at Penny Arcade, is the online, or not online, but the battle version of Mario Kart for the GameCube. Initially, people were complaining that you can't choose your character when you're playing against other people, that it just picks for you. And there are a lot of auto choices made. And
right.
At first, he's like, all right, this is a problem. Why don't they do that? And I think in the same discussion, he said the reason why is because it streamlines the fun. You want to have fun. No matter what you're doing, no matter who you're using or what level you're on, you're enjoying the game. So they define these options ahead of time for you instead of dilly-dallying between every single race and just bring on the fun.
Right. These things, I mean, there's always, when you decide to include a feature or not include a feature, there's always non-trivial trade-offs there. So you can't, if you just think that, you know, more is better, then, you know, you'll get something where I think when you finally get more of everything, you'll be like, oh, you know what? This isn't as good as I quite thought it was.
And anyone who's looked at an in-depth options menu sometimes feels like, wow, they're going through a lot of menus and wasting time.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, we're about to go. Before we do go, I want to reiterate one more time. If you buy anything from our game store, and I'll hopefully be putting more things on there, Ara will finish his 9 picks.
Yep.
Buy something from the ChatterboxGameShow.com game store. Any of the profits made by us, as long as you send us a receipt as proof, we will send 120% of all of that. Ara kicks in 10%, I kick in 10%, and of course, whatever we made from you to begin with goes straight to Child's Play Charity. Just send us the receipt. Anything sold in December earns 120% to Child's Play. Thank you
very much, Aaron, for
yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Kudos to you guys.
We'll be back next week, everybody. Thank you.
See you later.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.
This is KFNX.